This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 30th of October 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. For this week's film review, I'm joined by Little White Lies editor David Jenkins. Up for discussion today, we have the shock factor of Gaspar Noé's latest release, Love, a new reincarnation of Dylan Thomas's classic Welsh play, Under Milkwood, and hip-hop fashion documentary, Fresh Dressed. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Now, welcome to the show, David. This week, we're going to begin with Gaspar Noé's latest film, Love, which received an avalanche of press coverage after it debuted at the Cannes Film Festival earlier this year. Now, I understand you were at that premiere. Can you give us a sense of, first of all, what was controversial about it, but the whole atmosphere of that screening?
Well, just to add also that to give the film its full title is Love 3D, which I think is one of the points that actually drew a lot of people to want to see the movie. Yeah, it was very, very strange. It was very much outside the usual festival schedule. The screening started at 2 a.m. in the morning. It was just one single screening where everyone was invited, and it was a real there was a real fight to get in. And Gaspar was there himself. You know, he was given a special dispensation. You generally have to wear a full tuxedo, black and white tuxedo, up the red carpet, but he had come in this bizarre sort of mustard-coloured corduroy suit, and he was kind of dancing quite eerily up the red carpet with his stars. And yes, it was a very, very it was extremely pleasurable in that it was there was a very kind of tense atmosphere there. It was really electric, but sadly, the film was a bit of a damp squib.
Well, much of the controversy is due to the very, very, very explicit sexual nature of the film. Let's have a clip first from Love before we carry on discussing the movie.
Electra.
Hmm?
What is your ultimate fantasy?
Tender you can be.
The sound of the film Love. Now, David, what was the idea behind this film? What was the director trying to do?
Well, he stated publicly that one of his aims with this movie was to, I mean, he just to give a little bit of background on the kind of stuff he's done before. I mean, it's rare to see his name mentioned in print without the prefix provocateur. He is known for making very, very extreme, sometimes very violent, very kind of sometimes quite surreal films. His previous one was called Enter the Void, which was about a kid who dies of a drug overdose, and his ghost haunts his stripper sister. It was a very mad film. And with this movie, his aim apparently was to make a very sincere sex movie, a movie that contained sex but was about love,
and quite a biographical one. The lead player, the lead character, is a filmmaker, so it's quite revealing of his perhaps past and inner life.
He is, and in the film, actually, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, but there are lots of strange, like Gaspar Noé actually stars in the film himself as one of the side characters, who is a kind of love rival to the central character. And there's also a moment where the main character has a child who is called Gaspar as well. So there's all these very, very strange kind of self-referencing moments in the film, which you think, I mean, you know, they sometimes kind of pierce the sort of patina of earnestness, which, doesn't do the film any favours, really.
Very brave for the actors, but the actors weren't professional actors, were they?
No, it's a weird one, I think. I think he's tried to sort of grapple with that equation of finding people willing to sort of do certain things on camera for him, required for the script and required for, you know, the visuals, I guess. But also, I think the earnest element of it and the actual, you know, needing characters to emote and be honest and truthful, that kind of hasn't really come through. I mean, he's definitely got the people who are willing to perform for him, in inverted commas.
Well, and when you say perform, this was not simulated sex at all. What do you think, filming it in 3D adds to the visual impact, or is that just adding to more sensation?
There are. I think the film is probably at its best as a piece. I mean, he's a great visual stylist, and I think the film is, its best moments are the moments where he's just toying with the 3D, and he's using light in an innovative way. He's using strobing effects, and he's, you know, use. There is a moment where an object, I won't say what, is thrust out at the screen, and it's done very well, you know, for comedic effect, shall we say. But yeah, I think as a 3D film, it's not like, you know, it's a long film. It's over 2.5 hours, and there's certainly much of it that you wouldn't, you know, the 3D doesn't register. But then, you know, there are these occasional jolts where it does come in, and it is actually quite impressive. And I think he excels far more as a visual director than he does as someone who actually, as a sort of drama director, as a human director, I guess.
Love premiered at the Cannes Film Festival this May and is released in American cinemas today. If you are in the UK, Finland or Germany, then look out for the film later on in November. Let's move on now to a new remake of the Dylan Thomas classic Under Milkwood. In this play, which was originally written for radio, a narrator takes us through the dreams and innermost thoughts of the residents of a fictional Welsh village. It was first made into a film in 1972, starring Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. And this new creation by Kevin Allen has been released as part of the celebration for Dylan Thomas's centenary year. Now, David, can you give us a sense of the 2015 remake?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to call it a remake, I think, because it's definitely kind of starting from scratch. It's, you know, it's taking the material, you know, Dylan Thomas's prose, and starting from there rather than a remake of the Richard Burton film, I think. But yeah, it is. I mean, what the film is it's this kind of prolonged montage of visual images that just sit alongside the what's being said in the poem. It's a very kind of, I guess it's a, in that sense, it might sound to be a very straight movie, as in, you know, just this is just visuals connected to dialogue, but it's because it is that, and because of the nature of the dialogue, it's still very surreal. And
well,
let's
have a listen to the sound of this visual fantasy from Under Milkwood.
Look. Time passes. Come closer now. Now behind the eyes and secrets of the dreamers in the streets rocked to sleep by the sea.
Isn't life a terrible thing? Thank God.
We must take our pajamas from the drawer marked pajamas.
No!
Here's your arsenic, dear.
You wouldn't know he was in the house, Mrs. Ogmore-Pritchard.
I want to gobble him up.
I wish you were not so educated.
A clip from Kevin Allen's Under Milkwood. Now, that voice, first narrated really by Richard Burton, and very brave for Rhys Ifans to take on that, pick up that baton, as it were.
Do you know what? He's very, very good in the film. And, you know, he only has a sort of slightly, visually, he has slightly a minor role in it. He's kind of Captain Cat is seen occasionally in narrating the stories. But yeah, I mean, I think probably the highlight of the film is the way, I mean, you really get a sense that he's kind of understood it and studied it and really got to grips with what it is about this, is important about the Thomas's original.
It sounds quite surreal. Is it accessible, this film?
It kind of is and it isn't. It's actually, it's It's very full on. I mean, it's just this kind of non-stop barrage of images and scenes and moments, and there's no real kind of driving narrative to it, because it is the nature of the material is it's just little little kind of subplots about, you know, about small, you know, families and events and things happening, and there's nothing that really drives it forward. So you do get, it's very bitty, I think. And I mean, what he's done is he's just tried to I guess it's one of those things where you don't really need the visuals
for this film.
I mean, the poem itself, or the play, the poem. I mean, he said that it is like what's he described it as? It's a drama for voices, is what Dylan Thomas actually described it as, and I think that signifies the fact that it is extremely evocative, and you don't necessarily need images to actually be able to create your own images in your mind. I mean, the dialogue does all the heavy lifting for you.
Well, if you're tempted, Under Milkwood hits UK cinemas today after premiering at the Edinburgh International Film Festival in June. We're going to end today's show with a documentary which chronicles the history of hip-hop fashion. Fresh Dressed is a film by Sasha Jenkins, who's written extensively on urban culture. The film features hip-hop heavyweights such as Kanye West and Pharrell Williams, and discusses how street style made its way to the catwalk and vice versa. Before we talk about the film, let's hear a little bit. In this clip, we hear from one of the pioneers of this style, Shirt Kings.
What Shirt Kings were about were drawing things that we saw, you know, in our community. We basically remixed them. We turned them into a joke because this became our reality, you know? So we put Mickey on crack. When times are bad, a lot of people tend to gravitate towards art. Art takes your mind to another place. You know, Shirt Kings, it allowed me to not become something else.
An excerpt from the documentary Fresh Dress. Now, fashion and music have always been inextricably linked. What is it about hip-hop's relationship to fashion that's interesting?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is the film kind of shows that relationship, how it developed over about 40 years. I mean, it starts at the late 70s. Do you remember the show Soul Train? That's the starting point of the film, where you have a clip of these two young kids. They're dressed up in their new clothes, and the presenter is asking them about what they're wearing, and they both say they both describe themselves as being fresh. And you know, the idea of fresh dressed is this concept of, you know, displaying yourself to the world, giving an illusion of affluence, of style, of taking care of yourself. And I think one of the sort of sub themes of the film is that with hip hop fashion, people would tend to divert a lot of their attention, a lot of their money onto paying for expensive designer clothes, and then basically living rough. So they would be presenting themselves in this very fashionable way, but actually their quality of life was very low.
I think what's always interesting about fashion is depending on how you look at it, it's not just purely superficial. With hindsight, it can really help interpret the times. And having sat through this documentary, what do you think that whole hip-hop fashion movement sort of reflects about that period, what, mid-80s?
Well, I mean, I think one of the sort of themes that comes up again is it's brands, I guess. I mean, there seemed to be a kind of constant revolving obsession with new brands and making sure you know, I guess with hip hop or with all music, I guess there is a sort of thirst for innovation, being the first person to do a certain thing or express something in a certain way. And I guess with fashion as well, I mean, you know, there was a period where Ralph Lauren polo was all the rage. Everyone had to have one, you know. It was just on the back of, you know, a couple of people coming into a club one week wearing polo shirts, and suddenly everyone had to be a part of it. And you know, there's conformity as well, I guess.
Tell me a little bit about the director and what are his credentials to really make this film.
Well, he's worked in the hip hop industry and on the music side of things as well. And I guess one of his credentials as well is for making this movie is that he's been able to bring people like Pharrell and Kanye West, and there is a lot of sort of big names in front of the camera, and it's really interesting actually to see people like. I mean, it's interesting. Like, I guess talking about music, people like Pharrell is quite kind of playful and fun, and he sometimes doesn't take it too seriously. But watching him talking about fashion, he just suddenly transforms into this kind of historian. He's very precise about things, and very, you know, this is when this happened, and this is when this happened, this is what this means, and this, you know, he almost it's clearly very, very important to him, and I guess that's kind of reflected throughout the film.
And a great use of archive material.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, some really. I think one of the best moments is there's a sequence where it kind of discusses how Tommy Hilfiger became famous with, you know, urban clothing, and he actually drove into the Bronx in his car and just started to give Tommy Hilfiger clothing out to people, knowing that they would wear it to the club, and yeah, from then the Tommy
rest
Hilfiger, the rest is history. Yeah, Tommy Hilfiger became huge, and it's all kind of condensed down to this one. Crazy moment. And it's interesting because as the film does tell the story of fashion and through like 40 years, I mean, through stories like that, I mean, it's kind of also, you know, there's also kind of parallels with things like drug culture and
gangs
and things like that. I mean, it's how these things sort of spiral out, and you get someone addicted and they see it and they're addicted, and I mean, and there are kind of examples in the film of people, crime waves caused by clothing, people beating people up to get not their money, to get their new polo, Ralph Lauren polo shirt off the back.
Hard to believe. Well, Fresh Dress debuted earlier this year at the Sundance Film Festival and is now available to download on iTunes. And if you're in the UK, then you can catch it in selected cinemas as of today. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. David Jenkins, thank you very much as always for joining us. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time on Monday when Charlotte Burns will be talking us through the week in art. But for now, bye-bye and thanks for listening.